Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And in her absence today, Minister Tabika Garnes, our co-host, praise be unto God. We want to say belated happy birthday to her. She had a birthday this week. So belated happy birthday to her. Sending out much love to her. And may she have an awesome day today. I know that she will be, you know, calling in this morning, but may not be able to speak because she's doing something right at this moment. Praise God. She's doing something at this morning. So we just still want to say good morning to her. Bless the Lord. And good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, my love. God bless you. Good morning to Joyce Richardson, Joyce in New York, Prophetess Kim. Praise God. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago and Isaiah in PA. Good morning to Prophetess Dawn and to Deacon Thomas Farr. Praise the Lord. Good morning to him. Good morning to all of the members of New Vision for Life that tune in to listen to our show and show their support and love. God bless you all. God bless you all. And good morning to all of our listeners. All of our listeners. Don't want to leave anyone out. So whether you're listening via telephone or on the internet, good morning to you. Remember, the show is not the same without you. It is not the same. So I say good morning to you. Love you all. Love you all. So bless God. I'm sorry. I just had lost my train of thought for a moment. It just poofed without, but it came back. It came back. I have my mother staying with me for 10 days. She's here in Baltimore and staying with me. And I just want to say good morning to her. Bless her heart. She is a challenge, bless God, but a blessing to have my mother, a blessing to have her. So I just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the time that we get to spend together. Let me also say good morning to my sister and her family. My sister and her family normally take care of Mom. Mom lives with them. And Mom comes and stays with me during times when my sister is taking a break. And right now she is in California in San Diego visiting her granddaughter. And so I'm saying wonderful blessings to them. In fact, my sister got a little carried away, said that she loves the weather. She loves everything that she sees. She thinks that she just might stay there. And I'm like, no, you won't. You better come back home. You better come home. But they're having a wonderful time. So I thank God for them as well. To God be the glory. And I don't know why she wants to stay there. Well, she did tell me because of the weather. But they have earthquakes, a lot more earthquakes than we have here. And my niece has already experienced a couple of the earthquakes during her stay there. And she's been there for a year just about. And she's already experienced a couple of earthquakes. So I'm not so sure about staying there just because the sun is shining all the time and there's no rain and the weather is nice and warm and all that stuff. It sounds good, but I get a little shaky thinking about earthquakes. And I know we've had some here in Maryland, You've had a few, but not heavy ones, and not enough, you know, to make me that afraid of them. So anyway, blessings to all of them. Blessings to all of them. Okay, my love. Okay. We're going to go ahead and open in prayer. So, and I want you all to be praying. You know what things you have on your heart and what you need from God. So I'm encouraging you as we pray that you are praying also, and that you're giving thanks to Him, because whatever it is you're praying for, you probably prayed for it already. And so at this time, begin to thank Him. Thank Him for the answer. The answer that you don't see yet, but you know that it's coming. You know it's coming. You believe it with everything in you. So give God the praise. Give Him the glory and the honor. Speak to Him in faith. Speak to Him in faith. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we praise you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name, because you are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega. And God, there is none like you. I thank you for this day, for it is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord God, because you've allowed us to rise up one more day, O God, with the activity of our limbs, with us being in our right mind, O God. Father God, being able to do the things and say the things, Lord God, that we would do and say on this day. God, I thank you that you made this day for us, O Lord. You made it so that we could accomplish the things that we need to accomplish today. You made this day, O God, so that we could rest in you as your Father, our Father, Abba, as He did on the seventh day of the week. He rested. So I encourage, Lord God, the saints of God to find rest and peace on this day. Lord, I thank you again for such an awesome day. Heavenly Father, as we come before you with today's show, Father, I pray that people will be blessed by it and will be encouraged by it, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that it would give them the hope to go on, Lord God, and to see their way through, to trust in you, to believe in you, to hold on the promises, O Lord God, that you have made. And Lord God, for them to understand, for us to understand, that there will be some things that we will pray for, and we will not see the answers from them for them today, excuse me, on this side of heaven. But Lord God, greater is our reward as we wait patiently for you. So Father, I thank you. I pray, Lord God, for the children, Lord God, our youth, Lord God, that their lives would be spared from guns and knives, drugs and disease and car accidents, oh God. I plead a hedge of protection around our youth, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I pray for that the spirit of rebellion, it will cease and desist in their lives, oh Lord God, and that truly they will honor their parents, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I thank you, Lord God, that our youth are in their right minds, O God, that they're not suffering from depression and spirit of suicide, not suffering from oppression from the enemy, O God, but Lord God, that you're pulling them up out of the miry clay and setting their feet on a rock to stay, and that rock being Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, for the word of God to be sown into their lives, into their heart, into their minds, that they would have, Lord God, the bread of life to feast on, Lord God, to live by, Father God. Lord, use our youth. Draw our youth. Lord God, don't let the enemy take them out of here before it's their time. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you, O God. Father, I pray for forgiveness of all of our sins, O God. Everything that we've said or done, Lord God, that was not pleasing to you, that came against the word of God, anything that could be deemed as sin. Father, forgive us, Lord God, for these sins. And as you forgive us, we faithfully, Lord God, choose to forgive those who have sinned against us. Lord God, we learned so much from Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We've learned so much from him. And may we walk in the example and live the lifestyle that he lived before us. He showed us that we're able to do the same things that he did. We're able to love like him. We're able to forgive like him, Lord God. We're able, Lord God, to minister like him, have compassion like him. Father God, we are able to do this because you left with us the Comforter, your Spirit that lives and dwells within us, that abides within us and with us, O God. And the Holy Spirit, O God, gave us and equipped us with gifts, Father, that we are able to do exactly what we were purposed to do. Father, for this we do say thank you. Lord God, I love you, I honor you, and I bless you. Lord, let this day, Lord God, be the best day that we've seen thus far. May this day be the best day that we've seen thus far. Somebody woke up this morning feeling down and out. Somebody woke up this morning being discouraged. Somebody woke up this morning sick, hurt, depressed, discouraged. Lord God, someone woke up imprisoned in nursing homes, homeless shelters. Somebody woke up in a state of mind, O Lord God, where they felt that they didn't want to be in that state any longer. Father God, touch, heal, deliver, and set free all those that are captive in any way whatsoever, O God, in any way whatsoever. God, bless them. Lord, let someone come along and encourage them, Father God, not to give up. Do not give up, for you are with us, O God, every step of the way. You are with us. And for this, we say thank you. No greater love that is there than a man who would lay his life down for his friend. And we are a friend of Jesus, and he laid his life down for us. He is our friend, and he laid his life down. And so with this, Lord God, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To God be all the glory. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' awesome, magnificent name, amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, beloved, it is again another wonderful day, and we thank God for the day. And today we're going to be dealing with not giving up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, as a pastor, a friend, and a mother, a confidant, whatever the case may be, you know, I hear a lot of stories. I hear stories of people's trials and tribulation. I hear, you know, when so much is going on in their lives, and a lot of people, a lot of people want to give up on these things. They say they've had enough. They can't go through the things that they're going through. They can't go through the things that they're going through, or at least they feel like they can't go through. And a lot of it, oh my gosh, a lot of it is so warranted, saints of God. It is so warranted for them to feel that way. You know, they're waiting on the Lord. They're waiting on a husband or a wife. They're waiting on their children to come around. They're waiting on so many things to change in their life. And when they don't see the hand of God moving right then and there, they become frustrated and angry and to a place where they just want to give up. They just want to give up. And this morning I'm saying to you, saints of God, don't give up. Don't give up. When we believe in God, there is patience that is required from us. There is patience that is required from us. And when we don't walk in that patience, we have the tendency to give up prematurely. And we don't want to do that. You know, I know when I was in A.L. Williams, which is a multi-level marketing business, an insurance company, we used to tell people, you're one carburetor adjustment away from your success. One carburetor adjustment away from your success. You know, you hear something wrong with the car, and you know it's got to be repaired. And instead of getting it repaired, you know, a lot of people will go and buy a new car. They will junk the old car. They will sell the car. They will do whatever it is to get rid of the car. But all it needed was an adjustment on the carburetor. That was all it needed. And the car would run perfectly. It would be fine. It was a car that was already paid for. Oh, my goodness. And all it needed was that carburetor adjustment. Thanks to God, this morning, you could be a carburetor adjustment away from you hearing and seeing and experiencing what it is that you have prayed for. That's right. Just a little adjustment is all that you may need. And that adjustment, my goodness, can make all the difference in the world. You know, Jesus is there for us. He's there to heal us. He's there to open up those prison doors. And those prison doors are not just down in our detention center, but I'm talking about the prison in our minds. He's there to open those doors. He's there to touch, to heal, to deliver, and to set us free. All we got to do is hold on. Hold on. God is standing with us. He is our creator. He's in the gap waiting for us to give control to him. God knows what's best. He knows how to show up and deliver. And sometimes, beloved, what he shows up and does is not what we prayed for, but we have to trust that God knows what's best for us. He knows what's best. So when we give up our control, God can restore us back to where we need to be. Oh, my goodness. Beloved, I'm encouraging you this morning, do not give up. Do not give up. Oh, my Lord, I pray that, you know, that you're holding on to that you're beginning to even hear the Holy Spirit piercing your heart, moving in the atmosphere where you are, that he is there with you. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And it is going to take faith. It is going to take faith to see this happen. It is going to take faith. And while I'm thinking about it, those of you that are online, if you wish to jump in, to make a comment, to ask a question, to share a testimony, don't forget, press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 and let us know what is on your heart. For truly this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Praise be unto God. Now, I want to share with you a scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. And this is, you know, this is the faith chapter. This is the chapter that as you grow in the word of the Lord and begin to understand, you know, what the different chapters stand for, you know, you're able to say, you know, Hebrews 11, that is the faith chapter. And 1 Corinthians 13, that is the love chapter. You know, so you'll begin to understand and recognize different chapters by what they have been deemed and called for. And this is the faith chapter. And I know that it was plenty of times that in my lifetime, this faith chapter got me through. But excuse me. But there's a possibility as I began to read it to you, you're saying, well, wait a minute. It doesn't sound right here. Something here doesn't sound right. But I want you to listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. And let's hear what the Lord has to say. In fact, before I read it, Heavenly Father, I ask you to open up our ear gates that we are able to hear the Spirit of God in the words of this chapter, Lord God. That, Father, through hearing this word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord God, let faith be increased as we read this chapter. Let it be increased. Let folks be encouraged, oh, Lord God, to hang on no matter what they see. Okay, in Jesus' name, amen. All righty, so we're going to start with verse 1 and read through this chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. They all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled, for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me, to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became vigilant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scornings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in half with a sword, sawn in half. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. By faith, and just the first three verses of chapter 12, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest ye become weary and discouraged in your souls. Beloved, this is the word of God. So now, as you can hear here, many had walked through by faith to accomplish things that the Lord told them to accomplish, and they had to do it in faith. The one I like to pull out is one or two, you know, when Abraham took his son up to the mountain to be slain, but he went in faith, believing even if he killed his son, that God would raise him from the dead. That is faith, beloved. And what about Noah building the ark, because God is going to flood the earth? He's going to cause it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Noah is like, what is rain? What is a flood? Never seen it, never heard of it. But God, if you said so, then I will go and do exactly what you said to do by faith, by faith. In chapter 12, when it says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all of those people that are mentioned in chapter 11, those are our witnesses of what it's like to live by faith. Those are the witnesses. When you think of a witness, there's two ways that you can think of a witness. One is someone who gave an eye, had an eye view, an eye account. They saw exactly what happened. They witnessed it. That's one way of being a witness. The other way is the witness who testifies on your behalf. They speak as in a courtroom. They speak on your behalf. They are a witness. And these people in chapter 11, they did both. They witnessed the hand of God. They gave us testimony. They gave us testimony. They spoke about what it was that God did for them. So they were the cloud of witness. Beloved, we are surrounded by a cloud of witness, and therefore we should lay aside everything that is sinful, everything that would stop us from being what God has called us to be. We are to lay it aside, and with endurance we should run for the in the race that is set before us. You know, I believe it was Paul that said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm going to run this race. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let, you know, the negative thoughts, the things that people have said, words that were spoken against me, I'm not going to let those words hold me down. I'm going to hold on to what God has said to me. I'm going to hold on to what God has called me. I'm going to use the tools and the witnesses that he has given for me in the word of God. I'm going to take hold of what it was that Jesus did for me on the cross. And I'm believing everything that happened. I'm receiving it in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what my body says, in spite of what my doctor says, in spite of what my husband and or wife says, in spite of what my children do, in spite of what the leaders of this country do, I'm holding on to the promises of God by faith. By faith, I am holding on. Saints of God, do not give up. Do not give up. Praise be unto God. I'm sure many of you that are on this line right now can think of circumstances where you were ready to throw the towel in, where you were ready to say, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. I won't do this anymore. And you were ready to give up. But, oh, my God, you held on. Something inside of you said, don't give up. Just hold on. I'm with you. And you did not give up. We have a caller. It looks like it's my beloved co-host. Good morning, beloved. How are you today, sweetie?
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, honey. I am blessed. Yes, darling. What do you have for us today?
Amen. It's so awesome that you're sharing this because last night, okay, so last night I had to do an update on my phone, but before I did my update, I had my email open because I had to send an email. Well, when I opened my phone back up, I was still in my email, but there was a different email sitting there that I did not open. Mm-hmm. And so it's called Leave It in My Hand. And it says, I am calling you to a new level of trust, my beloved. I know that your circumstances may look different, and when you look at them, they may tell you a different story than what I told you to hold on to. However, my child, when you come to me and I give you a promise and you place yourself and each care into my hand, can you trust me that it's safe here? Can you trust me that my promise will indeed come to pass? So surrender to me afresh this day and rest assured that I have heard every single one of your prayers. Trust me that I have been part of each thought you have had that at times may have even pulled you away from me. I was there. You gave me your burden. You gave me your care, and I never let it go, and I won't let it go. Trust in me afresh this day and know that I am at your side fighting on your behalf, says the Lord. So, and this was at three something in the morning. And I took a screenshot of the email, and it's in my photo album now, because I knew that was my God speaking to me about my situation that I talked to you about the other day. So it's no coincidence that today this was, you know, this was what needed to be talked about. And then even this morning, I got another email. This email is from Charles Stanley, and it says how to hold on. And he talked about it's he referenced Psalm 37:5-7 and Job 13:15. And Job 13:15 says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." And you know how we're so quick to put stuff on the enemy. But this tells you right here in this scripture that what Job was going through came from the Lord. And we know that the Lord allowed the enemy to do what he did to Job. But Job said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. He wasn't talking about the enemy, because the enemy may have been in, you know, in it doing different things, but God gave the enemy permission. But the fact that he say, though he slay me, I will hope in him, we know that he's not talking about the enemy. We know talking about God. So
yes,
we're so quick to give accolades to the enemy, when we got to sit back and stop sometimes and know who's in control. Know, because, again, the enemy can't do nothing without God's permission. So even if what we're going through seems so, you know, overwhelming, we still got to say, God, I thank you. God, I love you. God, I bless you. God, I know that you're walking me through this and that you're with me. And the enemy can't do nothing to me that you will not allow. So, you know, stop. Let's stop just giving the enemy accolades. You know, even when somebody do something, you know, wicked and evil to us or our children or our loved ones, you know,
mm-hmm.
again, God has to give the enemy permission. And don't look at it like, God, why would you allow this person to rape me or do whatever they did to me? Because sometimes, you know, people have their own will and they're still going to do what it is that they want to do. So don't blame, don't be mad and angry at God thinking he's a wicked God because you got raped. No. What you have to do in that situation, if it happened to you, you know, you still look to God for the answers. You still look to God for strength. You still look to God for healing. And then you ask God, okay, I went through this. How am I supposed to help somebody else get through this? You know, we've said it before. And, yes, I'm going through a trying time in my life right now. But I thank God that he's still right here with me. And this is how we get strength, even through this radio show, even through these little messages that I got. It gave me strength. I know that God does stuff in little ways, and sometimes we miss it. But I did not miss it today. It just filled me. It gave me strength. It empowered me and encouraged me to keep moving, to keep moving. Nobody said this to me. It wasn't the human that God spoke through this time. He spoke to me through emails. So sometimes we have to look for God to answer and speak to us in different ways, think out of the box, you know. And I could have sat here and been like, well, you know, it's an email. It went out to millions of people. That may be true, but guess what? It could have got lost in my email, but God brought it to my attention.
Right.
So therefore, I'm giving
right.
God the glory. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. And, sweetheart, please do me a favor and send me that email, okay? Please send that to me because that is truly encouraging. Truly, truly encouraging. Praise God. And I thank you so much for sharing that. I thank you so much for sharing that. And I'll probably call on you to share it again tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thanks to God. You know, and see now what she just did, she gave witness. She gave witness to what the Lord did. And remember, I spoke about the witnesses that see, and then there's the witness that spoke. She witnessed to the fact that God spoke, to the fact that God saw to it that she got that email just in the nick of time for what's going on in her life to encourage her. And while she was reading that, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 came to mind. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Saints of God, do not give up. Do not. For he is with you. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us all the while. And the enemy would like to have us thinking that he forgot about us, that he isn't there, you know, that he set us up for failure. And that is not the truth. That is not the truth. God is a God that does not lie. He is just in all that he does. And we can thank God for what he has done. We can truly thank God. Praise God. Saints, you're listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I am Apostle Etta Banks, the pastor of New Vision for Life Church, and you just heard from our co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes, and we do thank God for her and for what she shared. Anyone else, if there's something that you would like to share, anything that you would like to share with us, please press 1 on your keypad. This is a good time for you to speak up and share what is on your heart. What is on your heart? Thank you, Lord. Amen. I was thinking about also that when we trust in God, when we have faith in God, how our perspective about what we're going through changes. There's a shift in our perspective. When we look at our circumstances just the way they are today, exactly what's going on, when we look at that, you know, it's dismal. We see failure. We see death in those situations. We see darkness in those situations. But when we look at what God has said about us, about our circumstances, when we look at that and choose to hold on to that, then we're building our house on a rock. We're building our faith on the rock, and that rock being Jesus Christ, we're building on that. And when we are building on the rock, there's a shift in our perspective. There's a shift in how we see things. When we are standing flat-footed, you know, on the sand or whatever the case may be, and we're looking at things, everything is right at eye level, you know, and we can only see as far as our natural eye can show us. So let's say if you're standing on Wall Street in New York, and a lot of you don't know what Wall Street looks like in New York. So take any place where you've been in the crowd. For Baltimore, maybe down at the Inner Harbor during the 4th of July, and thousands of people are down there. Or what about the crowd when you're going to the baseball games or to the football games? And when you are walking, when you see the crowd, you can only see actually the faces and so forth of the people directly in front of you. And if you're taller, you can see the heads of people ahead of you. But when we began to look from where God will have us, God lifts us up out of that crowd, out of the miry clay, out of that circumstance. He lifts us up, and then we can look at it from the heavens, and we get a heavenly view of what's going on beneath us, not in front of us, not behind us, but it's beneath us. It's under our feet. We can see for miles now versus only being able to see a couple of feet in front of us, or even a couple of hundred feet in front of us. From up above, we can see for miles and miles. And that looked so large when we were down in it now becomes a miniature size issue. It becomes a small problem because our viewpoint is different. Our viewpoint is different. And so, therefore, we need to be in that place where we're seeing things from the eyes of Christ. Good morning, beloved. Good morning, Deacon Farr. How are you today?
Praise Him, Apostle. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Amen. Blessed as always, sir. Blessed as always. Amen.
Amen.
What do you have to share with us today?
Well, I just wanted to share. I was listening to the listening and talking about not giving up. Good morning, Sister Minister Gons. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. You know, when we talk about not giving up and our faith, I agree with what you were saying. Sometimes we have to realize that we have to endure some things as saints, mm-hmm. as Christians. Because some of it is testing, some of it is a challenge of our faith, some of it helps us to grow our faith. But we also understand that God is in control. And I think that's where we have to get to know that nothing that happens to us or nothing we're going through is not a surprise mm-hmm. or shocking to God. And that we know that, and again, this is about our faith. Like you said, if we have a faith that believes that God is in control, then the things that we deal with, and the things that we're struggling in, we know that God is working it out through us. That it's going to be all right, and we cannot give up, because that's where we have to mm-hmm. do. If we look at the saints and with the word and in the scripture, they have to endure some things, and we have to be able to endure some things, because you can't look at our right now situation like you were just sharing We have to be raised up above sometimes what's actually going on around us and in our heads, and lean on and trust in God. And that's where we have to, as individual saints of God, start to strengthen and build our relationship so that we know that God, you know, we are children of God. And we have to say that, believe that, and know that even through whatever's going on or whatever went on, or because we don't know what God is doing down the road, because we can't see. Like your analogy of being raised up. The higher we get up, the higher we can see. You know, when you're down in the midst of the crowd, you can't see. Like you said, when you're in the crowd, you can't see the next corner. You can't see the next whatever. But if you raise ourselves up in the spirit realm and understand who God is, we can start to see some things. That the things that we're going through is a purpose, and we have to know that God has a purpose in our life. Because again, in the saints in the saints in Scripture all had purpose that they could not see, but their faith kept them pressing and pushing forward. And us now, we have to do this as men and women of God. Understand that we need to press and push through some things because God has a plan. And I think that's where our faith, we have to really understand and trust that God is in control. And it's not us. It's not how we're feeling, what we're going through. But understand God is in control. And don't let these things, I tell brothers this all the time, don't let these things hit you square in the chest and get to your vital organs, because it's not. I tell them it's not that serious, because you're going through something. You're going to endure it, and if you don't, and like the three Hebrew boys told the king, if he don't save me, he's gonna remove me from you. I'm like, I'm like, I don't have to deal with you no more. Even if they burned up in the furnace, sometimes we have to see that also. You know, we have to get our faith to that level, and I just pray that everyone could you continue to pray to get to that level. Where, you know, God's got you. I'll just say it like that. God's got you. You have to believe that. You have to understand that. And get to a place in your spiritual growth that you understand that God got you and is a purpose for your life. And it's not always going to be easy. Amen? What do you say, Apostle?
Amen. Amen. Oh, my God. Thank you for your input with that. Amen. And that is so, so true. And I know I am seeing more and more, you know, in relationships where one person serving God and the other one isn't serving God. And the one that's serving God, they know that they have a calling on their life. They know that they have been created with purpose. And their mates do everything to keep them down, you know, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, some people walking through physical abuse. But I'm seeing more and more people in situations like this where they are saying, you know, basically, for God I live and for God I die. And I am going to do what he told me. God showed me something. God gave me a vision of something, and I've got to do what I can to fulfill that vision, no matter what it costs me, no matter what it costs me. Jesus paid a price for all of us to be able to do the things that he purposed for us to do, and to not be tied down and a slave to sin, to not have Satan to continue to be our father. And people are rising up. They're not giving up. More and more, I'm seeing it happen. And as this happens, beloved, oh, my God, it just hit me. As this happened, watch the hearts of those that were coming against you. Watch the hearts. Watch their hearts change, because they're seeing your determination to stand for righteousness, to stand for holiness, to do what God has showed you to do, because you were determined not to give up. You may have come to the Red Sea, but God is parting that Red Sea so that you can get across on dry land. And those that are chasing you and coming behind you, that they would be swallowed up in the sea. Well, saints, again, just like Deacon Farr said, be encouraged not to give up. Don't let your struggle be in vain. Look, you've already been through hell. Don't let your struggle be in vain by giving up and dying that way. No, fight, go on, be encouraged in the Lord. Get courage, courage, courage. You know, for us to have courage, that means we have confidence and hope in what it is that we are putting our trust and our faith in. Confidence and hope. And to encourage someone is to give them confidence and hope, or to share with them what the confidence and the hope that you walked in, and therefore they might get confidence and hope. So that's what we do. A lot of times when people come to us with their problems, we offer comfort. We offer comfort to them. Beloved, we've got to learn to offer the encouragement more than the comfort. We've got to encourage them to go on. Don't be afraid to tell them, don't give up. Yes, I know this hurts. Yes, I know what the doctor said, but don't give up. Don't give up in this. We have another caller that would like to share. Good morning, beloved. Your last four digits are 3593. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing good. I was just listening to your show and all that. Very inspiring, inspirational. I think we need that nowadays. A lot of us don't have someone encouraging us. You know, it's a lot of negativity out here in the world, but when you're around positive people, it brings you up. So I like this. This is a great way to start the morning with some positive message and all that. So I do like your radio show. I just tuned in. I'm like, man, this is nice. So I like your show.
Amen. Amen. I do thank you. From what state are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana, but I have a radio show myself, so okay. I browse around on different radio stations and all that, but I'm
calling Dr.
Anthony. Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, amen, amen. Thank you so very
amen.
Much. Well, I'm glad that you tuned in and got this portion of it. Amen. So, and it's good to amen. Hear you. It's hear your voice. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too, sir. God bless you. Oh, and by the way, what is the name of your radio show, please?
The Matthew Talk Radio Show. I'm a Tiger Woods impersonator. I interview actors, singers. Talk about relationships a lot because there's a lot of problems in relationships. But I really enjoy what you said about encouragement. A lot of us don't do that nowadays with people, even with our loved ones. So that's something very, very big. That we need to start doing nowadays is encouraging others and supporting others. And no matter what religions you are in, just, you know, be fruitful and try to help people out there in the world, which we don't do and all that.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again, and you have an awesome, blessed day and much success on your radio show. God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, beloved. Okay, folks, as you've heard today, we're speaking of not giving up, and we have literally come to the end of our time. And so remember that you can always come back into Blog Talk Radio. These shows are archived. You can download it. You can send it to someone else. You may need to listen to it over and over again to receive your encouragement. Remember the words for today, three words, don't give up. Don't give up. I love you all. I want you to take care and have an awesome day. And remember, no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. We'll see you back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.